Welcome to the Golf Podcast, presented by Golficity, where we bring you the tips, instruction, and support you need to get the most out of your golf game. And now your hosts, Frank and Mike.
Welcome to the 72nd episode of the Golf Podcast. So today we got a great topic for you. We're going to talk about ball position and where to put the ball in your stance. That's something that, you know, a lot of people can end up kind of questioning where exactly the best position is. So we're going to go over some tips on how to find that. And we're going to actually talk about the importance. It may seem like a boring topic, so to speak, but trust me, stick around. You'll see it's not. There's a lot that's weighs on just having the ball in the proper position. We've talked before about setup and how that can be so vital to, you know, setting up for the proper, to being able to make the proper shot and the proper swing. And you'll see, and we'll talk about it in a second, how much of your consistency is weighed on something like this. So I want to talk about that in depth. In the meantime, as always, I have Mike here with me. Mike, how's your game going?
Game is great. You know, this is an awesome topic because not many people know. If you look at someone, if you play around with someone, Frank, and you watch them on the tee, odds are they're going to tee the ball up in a different spot each time, all over the place. I always get confused with this, so I'm actually looking forward to talking about this tonight. But personally, Frank, tomorrow I'm taking my mother golfing for the first time in her life.
That's right. She's getting into the game, right?
So this is going to be pretty interesting tomorrow. So I told her, like, you got to go back and listen to like 11 or 12 different episodes of the Golf Podcast, you know, before we go out there tomorrow. But it's going to be a challenge, but I'm looking forward to it. But that's what's going on with me. Playing pretty well. How about you?
Yeah, you know, I got out there again, not as much as I'd like to, obviously, but I got out there again last weekend. I played one round on the weekend and played well. You know, didn't score well, but I was hitting the ball well, which I like. Mm-hmm. Again, goes back to what we talked about, that just scoring around the green. Also, you know, what was funny was they probably thought we were crazy because we kept playing. And I don't know what it was like by you, Mike, on Sunday morning, but the torrential downpour that we played through was honestly, I can't remember in my life ever being out in the rain like that. Because usually it only rains as heavy as it did in during like a thunderstorm, but there was no lightning. I mean, we're not crazy. You know, we love golf, but we're not crazy. Right. If there was lightning, we would have come in. But it was just like torrential downpour, and it would just like, it would tease us, like it would pour for a hole and then it would go away and then it would come back. So it's like, right. It's not steady rain where you would call it quits. Everybody, like after each green, like the whole foursome is like, do we do this? Do we keep going out? Anyway, soaked to the bone. But it was funny. Like I was just hitting the ball well. Mm-hmm. One thing that was funny, Mike, you would have laughed if you saw this. I had my rain jacket on, right? And it's like a waterproof rain jacket. And I didn't realize that the hood on it was filling with rain. Okay? 'Cause this is how fast it was pouring. It just filling and filling and filling with rain. I get on the green and I bend over to pick up the ball, and it was like the ice bucket challenge.
Wow.
It was like,
I would have loved to see that.
Yeah. You would have laughed at me there. It just boom. And like, honestly, that was days ago. My stuff is still drying out. That's how wet it was. But it was fun. But going back to what I was saying, as far as just focusing on this short game, and one thing that I really liked, the biggest takeaway for me from the last episode where we had Dan from the Dan Plan on, was when he talked about when he first started, how much time he focused on the short game. And that's where he really got his handicap down. And that's you know, it really took that to heart. I'm really working on that because I'm finding, you know, whether I'm scrambling or hitting my greens in regulation, you know, I'm close, I'm there, but it's just the scoring happens. It seems for me from about 25 yards and in. I've been trying to be much more smart about it. You know, we should probably have a whole episode just on playing smart in those certain situations. Like for instance, I had one where I was maybe 30 feet off the green, but it was cut very, very tight. It was almost like a long fringe down, you know, sloping down, and the green was above my feet. And, you know, small, very tight greens, this new green that's like, it's like a postage stamp out there. It's so small. And I, instead of chipping it and having that margin of error, I put it up and, you know, end up knocking it really close. So that was good. But there's a lot I can do. Mike, I had one heartbreaker though. I wanted to tell you about this too. I had one heartbreaker.
What happened?
The par, it was a par five. You got to go over the water towards the green. Right?
It's
the second hole.
Hole number two. Yes. Yeah. Okay.
Okay. So what they did, I don't know if they're getting their minds in shape for the open or what it was that they're the way they cut this. they ended up cutting it really tight, sloping down to the water. It goes rock wall. It's like water, rock wall. Then there's a little upslope, maybe 10 feet, and there's the green. I hit one of my best shots all day, you know, about 160 yards, 7 iron, landed on the green. Everyone's saying, nice shot. You know, we're walking back to the cart. Then one guy turns around. He looks, he goes, look at that. The ball rolled back all the way off the green, down the slope, and we watched it come over the wall and into the water. That's how they must feel at Augusta, you know?
Were you on in two?
No, I was on in three. It was a par three.
Par
five, long par five.
I thought you got on the par five and two, and it would have been like
something.
That's what I thought.
It was because it was driver, and then I hit a five. Like the way it is, like kind of a hard dog leg. You can't really carry the water in two. It's almost impossible to land it soft. So the way you play that hole is driver, 5 iron, and then you play like your 7 iron over that last little bit over the water to the hole. And it's just so disappointing because, you know, when you feel good, like, but what can you do about something like that? You can't be too discouraged. You got to feel good. You hit a good shot and it happened.
Yeah. But you're right. You know, but I found the water twice on that hole the first time I played it. But anyway, when we were talking with Dan last week, I love how he talked about starting with putting, because lately, Frank, same as you, I'm actually hitting greens and I'm playing great, but it feels like this whole game, like some days your driving is great, some days it's terrible, some day you're putting great, some day you're not. I'm in the spot where putting is awful. I'm getting on like tons of greens. It's phenomenal. It's such a great feeling to hit a green because then you know you have a really legitimate chance of making par. But I'm three putting like every hole, short putts, long putts. So everything's kind of shifting, so hopefully I can put it all back together.
Absolutely. There's such a difference in this game between a lot of people, especially when they're beginners, they want to learn how to swing, so to speak. But then I think you cross that threshold when you feel like, yeah, I can keep my, you know, keep up and I can do what I need with the ball, so to speak. But then you got to learn how to score. You know, that's where what happens around the green. That's the real, you know, the really where the game is won or lost, so to speak. And what I liked what Dan was saying in the last episode is he worked that backwards. He started by learning how to score, you know, and that's really great. And that's why he saw such a great increase right away in his improvement. He saw his handicap go down so fast. So that's a great way to think about it.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So, okay, Mike, let's jump right into this. Let's talk about it. Because what you said right at the beginning there is so true, is that a lot of people don't give enough thought to ball position. Yeah, what we see a lot of times, and I'm guilty of it without a doubt, is you just, especially if the game's not going well, I find that's where you start to abbreviate things. But what happens is you just step up to the ball, you feel kind of where it's comfortable, and you hit it. Contrast that with, I've played in, you know, some pro-ams with some local pros and stuff like that, and you'll see that a lot of them work right into, and these guys are pros. I mean, they've been doing this for a long time. Work right into their pre-shot routine, some sort of thing in their routine that helps them to align the ball in the stance. You know, a lot of guys you'll see like with a driver where they'll align the ball with their heel and then step out with the other foot from there so that they know that they're aligned. But don't forget, you know, where the ball is aligned in your stance matters for every single shot. And one thing that's really important to understand here is we all talk about consistency being what we want to achieve. And we also talk about it being one of the greatest challenges in golf. Well, one thing that can be a real, you know, really play into that is ball position. Because if you're not positioning the ball in the exact same spot in your stance for, you know, each swing, you know, relative to what club you're hitting, you're changing something. You're introducing another variable. And every time you have another variable, that's where consistency is going to start to, you know, waver. And it's because there's that extra variable. So if you can do a simple thing by just, you know, studying a little bit more and practicing and getting a feel for and doing something, you know, with your pre-shot routine, so to speak, that helps you get aligned with the ball the same way each time, you're going to see an improvement in consistency without a doubt. That makes sense?
Yeah. No, you're absolutely right.
Right. So that's the thing. What we're going to try to do here is talk about how to kind of not take that for granted, not to just step up to the ball and hit it. And I know it can be something that's tempting to do because, especially if you've been playing for a long time, you just kind of feel where you're comfortable with it. But what I'm saying is, no matter what your level is, it's a good idea to relook at it. You know, take a even if it's just one or two practice, you know, go down to the range, whatever it may be, and just work on where exactly the ball position is, and then work something into your routine that lets you align that, you know, whether it be with different parts of your body that you say, like, I know that this club, this is where the ball should be aligned, or whatever it may be. So that can be something that's very important to do. Mike, do you have anything in your pre-shot routine currently for aligning the ball in your stance?
You know, I just kind of put the club, you know, you'll see me hover the club over the ball and then kind of pick it up like I'm pointing it at someone standing across from me, just to see if I am in line with, you know, horizontal to my target. You know, I've been doing that a lot lately, and it's just also making sure that my body is straight, but also it kind of keeps me from moving the ball back or forward in the stance. It's usually right in the middle.
Gotcha.
It's where I'm most comfortable with it anyway. I don't personally know the benefit or the difference of front to back. You know, they say, and we'll probably talk about this, but, you know, getting the ball in the air in the front, playing more of the line drive in the back. So, you know what, Frank, I just keep it in the middle. Makes it easier.
All right. Well, let's start with it. Let's talk about it. 'Cause you're exactly right in that, you're going to have your basic, positioning for when you take your basic shot, but you can also vary that for different types of shot types, high and low. So we'll get into that in a second, but let's start with the basics. First and foremost, although you may be saying you're comfortable with it, in reality, there is a correct ball position for each club in your bag. Now, when I say correct, just like with a swing, it can vary person to person. Okay, so what I'm going to talk about is ranges of areas, but don't forget, you have to feel what you're comfortable with. Don't try to fit into something that doesn't make you comfortable, because you're not going to be able to play it that way. All right, so let's just talk about, first of all, the ranges. First thing is your wedges. You can always start with your wedges. Your wedges should be played from the very middle of your stance. Okay, this is for a normal shot. Again, in a minute, we'll get into hitting high and low. But for a normal shot, your wedges will be right from the middle. And the reason for that is you want to be pretty equally balanced. There's not a lot of slide that happens when you hit a wedge. Okay, so you're going to make, you know, there's not a lot of slide is one thing I refer to it as, where you can also talk about weight shift. It's mostly rotational when you hit a wedge. So you want to make sure that that ball is in the middle of your stance, okay? The opposite end of that extreme is your driver. Your driver is going to be positioned, you know, as far, you know, and I'm talking about for righties here, as far up as is lined up with the inside, you know, your heel on your left foot. So for lefties would be your right foot, for righties, your left foot. So the ball is moved up in the position. And the reason for that is you want to, with a driver, in order to get that height on the ball that you were looking for, you want to be kind of hitting a little bit up on it. Okay. So what's interesting about this is it's very, actually, if you think about it, and I always like to break these things down, it's simple physics. Okay. So the further the ball is back in your stance, the more you're de-lofting your club, so to speak. Okay. You can just kind of can visualize it. It's kind of hard to explain, you know, over a podcast, over audio, without having a club to demonstrate it with. But the further it is back, the more you're de-lofting that club. The further it is forward, the more effective loft you're creating. Okay. So you want to have that. So now we know, based on that, very simply, we know our extremes. We have our driver, which is going to be the position the furthest forward, and your wedges are going to be dead in the middle. Okay. Now, other than hitting a low shot, which we'll talk about, like I said, in a minute, you're never going to really be positioning it further back than the middle of your stance for a regular swing. Okay. So the next thing to do is, and this is where that, like I talked about, that comfort comes in, and this is going to be unique to each individual. You got to get out there and you got to practice it. And this is what I was talking about, doing a dedicated practice session just to this, so you can start to get the feel. But what you want to do is, you know where your wedges are, know where your driver is, and fit everything else in between. That meaning that the 3-wood, for instance, is going to be just a little bit less forward than the driver. And on the other side of the spectrum, your 9-iron is going to be a little bit more forward than your wedges. So if you were to go right up the scale from your wedges, let's say in the middle of your stance, again, as a righty, I have my wedges in the middle, my 9-iron goes a little bit more towards my front foot, and then so on and so forth. 8, 7, 6, and just keep moving up.
So you're not putting the ball anywhere past the middle to the back of your stance?
To the back of your stance, no, because you're going to end up with too much of your weight behind the ball, and you're also going to be de-lofting the club too much. Okay. So you effectively, let's say you move it back, it's almost like taking a pitching wedge and making it more of like a 7-iron's loft because it's so far back. The club is coming at it a little bit at a different angle that actually de-lofts it. So Yeah, you want to make sure if you're going to be putting a full normal swing on the ball, you got to be in the middle of your stance or forward of that. But again, you want to have it where you're feeling comfortable. If you start to move it too far forward, you might notice that, let's say, you're hooking it because you're coming across it too much at that point, or you're used to closing the club face square in a certain position, and now you're coming past that. So now the club face is closed and you're pushing the ball. So that's where you want to do. And when I say moved, I mean very small increments. Okay. So let's say the difference between the pitching wedge and the nine iron, you might only be moving that ball up about an inch, half inch to an inch, and then so forth. Because if you think about the span of your stance, depending on how wide your stance is, the amount you're moving it from those wedges to a driver is only maybe a foot, max. So you're fitting all those clubs in that foot range. Okay. So the most important thing here and the most important takeaway I want everyone to get is just to understand that concept, understand how that works, and then go out there and feel it and try it. Okay. And then again, these are all for normal shots because it can affect and you can do different types of shots for different situations by just changing the ball flight. But those are going to be your standard positions for those clubs. So now let's talk about purposefully moving outside those standard positions and what that means. This is something that a lot of golfers want to achieve. It's not, honestly, it's not that simple. I mean, it does take some work. But if you want to hit the ball higher or lower, situations for that are pretty obvious. If you want to hit the ball higher, it might be because you want to land it softer on a green. Maybe you got to get up and over something. Vice versa, we've talked before about hitting it lower. Maybe it's very windy. You want to hit more of a knockdown shot. That's where you're going to change your ball position. And one thing to think about with this and when you're changing your ball position is, it's going to take practice. You got to go out there and do it because of the fact that if you're not used to it, let's say I know where in my position, I know where I hit my 7-iron, right? I know where the ball position is. But theoretically, let's say now I want to move it up a bit so I can hit it a little higher. It may sound simple. Again, and we'll try to keep it as simple as we can, but if you're not used to it, you may end up with a closed club face because the ball is a little further than what your body is used to hitting. So it's going to require practice. But that said, let's just talk about the fundamentals of it. So if you do want to hit the ball higher, and there's plenty of reasons, like I said, you might want to do that. And this is something I've been working on because I've played on a lot of greens that are very firm. And I feel like if you don't get enough height out of it, you're going to roll right off. So what you want to do is just move the ball forward just very little bit, maybe anywhere from an inch to an inch and a half forward. You don't want to do anything dramatic because dramatic is really going to throw things off, but just a little bit above the normal position. So let's say with a wedge, you want to hit a high wedge. And we know that the position for a wedge, like we talked about, is right in the middle of the stance. In that case, you're only moving up maybe an inch, inch and a half. Now you're moving up to where you might be playing normally an 8-iron or something like that. And what that's going to do is that's going to be like a similar effect to what you see with the driver. You're hitting it a little bit more on that upswing and you're going to get that height that you want. Now, one other key to this is you don't really want to change anything else about your swing. Just change the ball position. Okay. Because if you start trying to account for it, maybe shifting your hands forward more or doing something like that, you're going to end up either counteracting it or creating a problem that you don't want. So just try that. Just move the ball up a little bit in your stance and see what it does. And again, when you're practicing this, you can try it, and this is a great thing to do at a range because you can hit a lot of balls one after the other and just see what the effect is. Move it up an inch, see how much height you get out of it. Move it up an inch and a half, so to speak, and then see where you're comfortable with. And then once you start to get to those extremes or you're moving up too much and you realize you're duck hooking the ball or something, you've gone too far, right? So that's something that I personally have been working on and practicing. Again, I'll tell you, it's not that easy. Mm-hmm. I've been doing it with my driver even because I know I need to get a little more height out of my drive in order to get that extra distance I'm trying to get. But anything time you change something like this, especially if you're very comfortable with the same position, you're gonna experience a little bit of growing pains with it. So stick with it because this is how it's done, but it is a little bit of a challenge. Mike, does that make sense as far as hitting it higher?
Yeah. It's a matter of, my problem is if I do change the ball position, I end up changing the swing, exactly what you said. And that's the one thing I struggle with. So, because I do always try to choke down, choke up, whatever it is. And, I always run into problems.
Right. And I think a big part of that might be if you move the ball too much, then it's a mentally, you know, you get in your head where you're saying like, I got to change something in order to square it up with the ball there. So I think the first thing to try would be like, don't move it quite so much. Try a little increment, try as hard as you can to keep the swing the same and then see what happens.
Right.
So now on the opposite end of the spectrum, when you want to hit it lower here, you are going to have a slightly different swing. Okay, because anytime you move that ball back in your stance past the midpoint, you're going to be shifting your weight a little bit in fundamental ways that don't really totally allow you to take that full swing, the normal full swing, because you're leaving a lot of weight back on the back foot. And the most common reason to do this is when it's windy and you want to keep that ball down so it's not as affected by the wind as much. So the first and foremost thing you want to do is, again, talking ball position, just move that ball back a little bit in your stance. Okay. Now here, Mike, is where you definitely want to choke down just a little bit. Not a ton. You know, you don't have to be on the metal, just an inch or two, and that'll give you some added club control. Also, because of where you're striking the ball, you're striking it sooner. You don't want to, if you don't choke down a little bit, there is a tendency to hit it fat and hit behind it. Okay. So that's a way to kind of shorten the club up a little bit and do that. So that's why you want to modify it a little bit. The other thing that I would suggest here is don't swing as hard as you normally would. And I wouldn't swing to necessarily to a full finish. You more want to think about taking a softer swing when you're hitting the ball low. And spin, don't forget, spin is what's going to send that ball higher in the air. And as you add speed, you're also adding spin. So a softer swing will help keep the ball a little bit lower after you've adjusted for that. So that's what you want to do, but you want to go out there and, like I said, practice it. We've got some great articles. You know, I'll link to the article about ball position in the show notes, which you can get to by going to golficity.com/episode 71. Is this episode 72 already, Mike?
72.
72. Man, look at this. I'm losing count. So episode 72, and then you'll be able to see that. But I'll also link to, we have some other articles specific to just lowering your ball flight that get into a little bit more and some pictures and stuff like that for setup. But it is surprising, and you'll be surprised at how much you can change just by your setup, just by changing your setup. Mm-hmm. You know, I think a lot of people when they're beginners or amateurs think, you know, I need to change so much with my swing in order to have different ball flights happen. But just like we talked about before, Mike, in that episode about fades and draws, a lot of it is taking the same swing with a slightly different setup.
Right.
So just try that. Again, the best thing you can do for yourself, experiment, 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 try different things. This is the time to get that big bucket of balls at the driving range, spend an hour, you know, and just try it. And you don't even have to run through the whole bag. You know, even if you just work with a couple clubs and get used to where they are, I would say lock in your normal positions first, know where they are, and then you can start toying with the high shots and the low shots, because you don't want to throw too much out there. Try doing everything all at once, and now you're end up confused. You don't even know where to start. You know, you're back to square one. So that's one thing. But this is one of those fundamental skills of golf. We've talked about it before, about the importance of the fundamentals. We've talked about, you know, Mike, like when we were at the Barclays last year and what we see on TV with the pros. What they're working on with their coaches aren't some crazy trick that you've never heard of before. They're working on their fundamentals. You know, they're ironing those out. Doesn't matter that they've been playing every day for the last 20 years. These guys are still working on that. And this is one of those fundamentals that can be very important, that ball position. So it's something to make sure that you do. So take some time in the range, practice that ball position, you know, practice it, and then see what comes naturally. And then you'll start to see it comes very natural. But this is, don't forget this, golf is a game of details. And this is one detail you just can't afford to get wrong. So, and the nice part about it is it doesn't matter what your athletic ability is. This is one of those things that you can improve your game with just by better understanding the fundamentals of the game. And just by, again, going back to the very beginning, just by not varying that ball too much in your stance, you're going to dramatically see an improvement in consistency, because your swing is approaching the ball at the same point. So all very important things. Mike, do you have anything else you want to add?
No, I'm actually excited. I'm playing a par 3 course tomorrow, because I will be able to work on this, because essentially every hole is I'm going to use a different club.
Yeah, so. And that's where you can really practice hitting those high shots into greens. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, because honestly, a few things feel better than when you actually nail one of those, and that's the great part about it. I mean, that's the reward that comes from all that practice. You know, just right. being able to do that, and that's again, talk about scoring. That can really is one of those things that can really set you apart because think about it. I mean, if you're able to land it soft on a hard green. And you don't have to, you know, compensate for that by trying to hit in front of the green, letting it roll up. There's a lot that can be said for it. And that's what we see the pros doing. And that's what you see your lower handicappers doing. So great thing to do.
Yeah. I got to tell you, Frank, all the times we talk every week on the show, everything we're doing, it's really helping my golf game because, you know, that round I played at the par three course, nine hole course last Friday. I shot a 42 and the three guys I work with are all in the like mid to upper 50s.
Yeah.
So it was just a good feeling to like, you know, be around other players, seeing where I used to be not too long ago, shanking into the woods constantly and chunking shots and just to see how much better I'm getting. It's awesome.
That is. You know, that reminds me of the episode we did about, you know, joining a golf league, just why it's so important yep. to, you know, mm-hmm. play with other people, see where different people are at. That's what I've been doing on the weekends is playing with some new guys and it's been fun. It's been enlightening. You know, it's amazing how different everybody's approach to the game is and what you can learn just from watching others without a doubt. Right.
Yep.
So Mike, do you have any, anything planned for the upcoming US Open?
No, nothing planned. Just going to continue playing some fantasy golf and, playing golf.
That's awesome. So. I'm loving the new stats that we rolled out on Golficity for the fantasy side of things. I don't know how many of our listeners are into the fantasy. I mean, I love it because it kind of occupies the mind a little bit during the week. You know, gets you really excited for Thursdays, that's for sure. But the new stats are great. You know, we have every player in the field, and it breaks down their salaries and, you know, their projected fantasy points. And I know a lot went into that, so that's really cool to see.
You know, I just think it's good for the game. I really think fantasy golf is going to help the actual game grow. That's all. I mean, more and more people are getting into it. I'm obsessed with it. I love it. This puts me in tune Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, following all the players. So
I agree 100%. And I'll tell you what, I've been cracking up at some of these commercials for the fantasy during right. the PG Tour.
Those
the
are
guys
great.
Are out there and they're like helping Steve Stricker like line up his shot. He's like, I got a lot of. You got my team or whatever it is. That's hilarious.
Yeah, those are great. I love them.
Yeah, but there's a lot of good stuff happening for the game right now. Seeing mm-hmm. these different guys winning. That's I'm looking forward to the U.S. Open. I love watching it. You know, and I feel like with everybody I play with on the weekends, they all say the same thing: is that they're just like, you know, always getting in trouble at home because the TV is always on. You know, the PGA Tour. But hey, it's fun. I mean, if you play the game, chances are you enjoy watching it because mm-hmm. you know, you not only like we talk about, you learn things, but you also you can get a real appreciation for the game when it's played at that level when you're out there, you know, grinding and trying to get it done yourself.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
All right, Mike, you have anything else before we wrap
That's it
up?
That is it, man. Good okay. week.
Great. All right. Again, as always, I appreciate everybody tuning in. If you like what you hear, please take a second to leave us a quick review on iTunes. You can also hear us now on Spreaker, Stitcher, just about anywhere that you can get podcasts. We just made sure that we've got it out there, and it's been great as far as being able to grow the show. But it's the other thing that I honestly have been really, really enjoying is hearing from everybody. You know, I feel like the episodes go live on Sunday, and then Monday morning, it's always nice to check the email and see a couple people write in about what they liked about the show or suggestions, whatever. So keep those coming. You can get to us by emailing us at podcast@golficity.com. The other little tip I can give you is now we broadcast the shows on YouTube as well. And the nice part about that is they usually hit YouTube a couple days early. So if you wanted to kind of get in there and see the next episode before it goes live on Sundays, you know, subscribe to our YouTube channel. It'll give you a little bit of alert when the next show goes live, and you'll be able to kind of tune in before everybody else and leave a comment on there. Again, just like with the emails, wherever you leave your comments, we read them, we respond. We love hearing from you guys. So keep those coming. Keep those show suggestions coming. We've got a whole bank of things that we're going to talk about coming up because, you know, from all the suggestions that have been coming in. So just keep that coming. We promise we will get to your topics. We're just going to be week after week working on those. We've got some great interviews too coming up. We've been trying to kind of pepper those in here and there, and so you can get some different perspectives like we talked about. So a lot of great stuff. Again, thank you for listening. You can get to the show notes of everything we talked about by going to golfficity.com/episode72. And we will see you again next week.